looking for the goddess. Are you the goddess? Who is the goddess? The goddess is the woman, is a woman, is any woman, is all women.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to The Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side is Mr. Nate Gorzinski. Nathan, how are you, good sir?
I'm okay, man. I'm ready to go. I'm in a good mood, you know?
Yeah.
Love is in the air,
yes,
my friend.
I don't,
you know, I'm sure we can get into that, but I will say, yeah, I'm doing good today. I feel good. How about yourself, man?
Well, I am also in the mood for love, simply because you're near me.
Oh.
And, yeah, this is our Valentine's Day special. That's what this is. Or, rather, what it should have been. But
right.
Just like love itself, I suppose, nothing ever goes as truly intended. And everything that I had planned for us and our awesome listening audience kind of fell apart. Now, you notice, obviously, you're sitting right here, but I didn't introduce Toby. Toby Schofield,
that's right,
our other co-host, he has completely gone MIA.
Yeah, man, it's a mystery.
It is.
But it's a Valentine's Day mystery, Dave.
Yeah, hopefully it's not a Valentine's Day murder scene.
Oh, hell, I hope not, man.
Yeah, because we really don't know where he is. I've been reaching out to him, so this is milk carton territory here, Nate.
Yeah, man, I am nervous. I had said, I feel bad even joking about it, but I was like, oh, I hope he's not incarcerated, and then I'll feel really bad if he's incarcerated for some reason.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Yeah, it feels weird talking about it because we don't know what's going on.
Right.
So it's kind of like we're in a weird spot. But we just want to let you listeners know we did have a potentially better show planned for you than we may end up with today because,
whoa,
you know, we don't know where our third. Listen, I'm just being honest.
Okay. All right. I can dig it.
But
to say we don't have a good show planned because Toby isn't here.
Oh, well,
hurts me. Hurts my soul.
Listen, Dave.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I love working with Toby, but I almost feel like something's in the cards because it's like, you know, Dave, it's just me and you today. Mm. We're back to basics.
Yeah.
You and I have known each other longer. You're probably the person I've known longer than anyone else that I still talk to on a regular basis like this. We still interact. We've been through some thick and thin. I'm getting a little deep here because it's a love episode, and I have a lot of love for you, Dave. You've been honestly my best friend over the years for longer than anyone else because we've both been through some crazy shit. Our whole show is kind of based on the fact that, yeah, we had these rough youths, these rough years in our past. We both had times where our other friends may not have even wanted to talk to us, but we were always there for each other. I could always count on you to let me crash at your place when no one else wanted me around. You would let me kick fucking opiates at your house, you know, your apartment. And, you know, and I nursed you through some rough times too, I'm sure. You know, I remember some rough times, but you know, I don't want to keep hogging this, but I want to say, man, you are my best friend. And it's kind of interesting that it's back to just you and me on this episode,
well,
Dave.
I genuinely appreciate that right back at you, but it really doesn't mean a damn thing unless you give me a perforated Valentine's Day card from a kit with some form of popular cartoon character on it.
Right.
So
Mickey Mouse Valentine.
I don't even know if Mickey Mouse is still cool. Is he still hip? I don't know what's up. Like,
was he ever hip?
Maybe, you know, that's a great question. I don't know. We could go ask some swinging seniors, and they may say, hey, listen, Mickey and Minnie, if you don't get one of those Valentine's Day cards, you know, this just isn't, you know, the cat's meow.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, yeah. So, but, you know, that's great, Nate. You know, and like you said, we are the original two, and we will do our best to keep on trucking, you know?
Amen.
Keep on rocking and rolling. And because, yes, this is a Valentine's-themed episode, I do have a question for you.
Sure.
Define love.
Hmm.
Don't look at the dictionary. Just define love for moi.
Can I ask Alexa or Siri?
You could. I mean, if you have to do that, it might kind of show how blackened your soul is, that you can't even think of anything without some kind of AI assistance, but feel free.
No, I think it'd be interesting to find out because it to me, it's kind of an indefinable thing. It's a feeling of obviously like I don't know if you'd say a kinship with another person. I mean, you can love things other than people. I love animals, but it's in a different way, you know, not to get like kinky.
Yeah. Don't get creepy on me now. We're not doing that.
Listen, I get kinky with people too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
But, anyway, no, love is, yeah, it's indescribable. It's that feeling of connection with another person where you're happier to see them usually. Well, I was going to say you're happier to see them than you are when you're not with them, but love sometimes is strong. And my girlfriend will say to me a lot, I love you, but sometimes I don't like you, you know, cause okay. We've had some rough times. But we still love each other. So it's like, it's a deeper thing than sometimes, you know, it's a deeper connection where, you know, through thick and thin, you're still gonna have that kinship in the end, that relationship. I don't know. Maybe I should ask Siri because I am at a loss for words.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You could. I mean, I'm still kind of amused by the fact that after you brought up bestiality, it wasn't a good segue. And you were even like, anyway, so, yeah, love is an undefinable thing.
Right. I tried to smooth over that.
Yeah.
After the record scratch.
Yeah. I think, Siri or Alexa would just basically give you the textbook definition of love, you know, whatever. Right. It's different for all people. You know
what
I mean?
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Hey, Siri, define love.
Love means an intense feeling of deep affection.
Okay. So you summed it up in a couple words. That's why Siri is my bitch, bro. I love Siri.
Ooh, yeah.
Hold that.
It's going to be intense, man. It can't just be like a minor feeling or just a lingering thought. She's like, it's intense.
Yeah, man.
Which I don't know anybody who's been married for any extent of time, or let's say you've been with your significant other for, let's 10 years.
Right.
Describes anything they do at this point in time is intense or extreme.
Nothing. Maybe arguments.
Oh, you got me there, kiddo. You are correct. Touche.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've had some doozies, but you know, Carly and I definitely have been, it's about 8 years. It'll be 8 years in March. And yeah, that's why I was getting at. Sometimes we have had times where we're not really even talking to each other. Usually it's because of something I've done. You know, I'm a knucklehead, but, you know, the pendulum swings both ways. But the point is at the end of the day, we still love each other. We know we're going to get over it. It's not at the point where we're worried about like, oh shit, are they going to leave me? I'm sure if things got really bad, you know, I don't know. I'm digging myself into a hole
here.
You
are.
My point, you know.
You really are.
What am I doing, man?
Yeah, man. You were just fucking shoveling away over there. I'm like, what is he trying to say? I mean, really, you're like, we'll always be together. Well, unless I do something incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
In which case, she will, for her own benefit, mental, physical, spiritual, leave me in the dust. Yes, indeed. Wow.
Yeah, maybe I should just tell her that this episode never came out.
Well, like no, I mean, you know, to be perfectly honest, it's not just you or like you're saying, you're kind of going on and kind of like going down different avenues trying to explain the sensation or feeling of love. It's different for each and every person. It's different for every creature. You know what I mean? So truly, it's just, yet again, indescribable. In its core sense, I mean, you could ask anybody or, again, look in a dictionary and it's going to tell you one thing. But does that necessarily translate to how you feel? Yet you still think you feel love.
Right.
The answer is no.
You know, the thing is emotions in general are so subjective. You don't know if other people feel the same feelings because in a scientific way, it's all just chemicals being released. You know, you could say love is that flood of oxytocin and, you know, dopamine or whatever it is, serotonin, endorphins. That's the word I'm looking for.
There you go.
Things that are released into your blood that make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so on a chemical level, it's like things are happening, but it feels more special. It feels more, you know, it doesn't feel chemical. It feels more ethereal than that. And when things are like that, you don't know if someone else is experiencing the same things, you know, so it's, you know, what I call love, someone else might not call love.
Yeah. But right.
Now we're getting into that whole topic where it's like, when I see the color red, when you see the same color, do you see like what green looks like to me? And
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. Like no one will ever know.
No.
True. But
very true.
You know, I dropped a lot of acid in my day.
So did I.
That's why we're talking about this shit.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of funny because if you ask me at any point in my existence what love means, I would give you a completely different explanation for it, depending sure. on what decade it is.
That's
you
know, a good point,
I believe I've told you many a time how I'm not a believer in true love.
Okay.
Which is something that people love to put into poems and everything else. Oh, my true love, my soulmate.
Right, soulmates, right.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you don't really have a big sample size. You were born in a certain era. You live in a certain geographical location.
Yeah.
So you were limited as far as your exposure to certain people or things that you could, in fact, possibly consider something as
exactly.
true or soul. So do you make do with what you got? Do you attach yourself yep. to somebody or, again, said things that make you extremely happy? Then yes. Is that love? That's up to you.
Right. So what you're saying is, as you've gotten older, you've learned to settle more for things. is that what you're saying? You've lowered your expectations.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that, right? Because, you know, when you're younger, you are the hopeless romantic.
Right. Maybe neither of our significant others should listen to this episode.
No, okay. Absolutely not. This is going to be used as blackmail against us. But seriously, you know, as a teenager, I thought this was shit that would be attainable.
Right.
I would be like, I am the lucky one. It was me. I found it. Yippee. And then that ended and you had to pick up the pieces and it was devastating and terrible. And then it happened again and again and again. And then you kind of desensitize yourself to certain things where it's like, yes, not to use the word settle, but say I have accepted this in my life. This is something that I truly do love, but I also have to temper my expectations and realize it could in fact come to an end at some point in the future and inevitably to really bring things down always does because we're all going to die. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Your relationship is either going to end in the heartbreak of breakup or death.
Yeah. You know, one way or the other, baby.
So happy Valentine's Day.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day from the selling out program. please stay away from windows and sharp objects. Now, actually, return the question to me. The first thing I was going to say about love was you can only love the booty. Okay. It's all about the booty.
It's all about the booty hole.
I wasn't even going that deep, but, but I bring this
deep
up.
In the booty hole.
Deep in the booty hole. And I bring this up because something is happening to your booty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, ooh, it took him a second. He was like, "Ooh, that's right. There is something about to happen to my ass."
I have a big day.
Yeah,
your
big
day. I have a big day coming up involving my ass.
Tell us about it, please.
It's not. Yes, it's not proctology either. It's not a. It's not a
bummer.
Colonoscopy. No, it's I have been going to get this medication once a month, and full disclosure. Last year, I had this back injury that I talked about on the show kind of endlessly at one point. And when I was done with that whole injury, I was on a bunch of painkillers that ended up not doing wonders for my pre-existing addiction issue. I've, you know, talked also about my heroin addiction for years, whatever. I've gone on and on about it. But anyway, so last year ended up being a really rough year for me. And by the end of the year, I was really desperate. And it was the whole 2020 was so horrible for everyone. And for me, I was like, God damn, this is like, I was at the end of my rope, really. And I tried to hide it, didn't talk about it on the show, really. But by the end of the year, things were rough. But my point is, I was able to turn it all around. Like, I ended up going, getting some help, going to treatment, and getting back on my feet. And I'm actually in a better place than I've ever been in my life. Like, I'm super healthy. I'm putting on, anyway, the point is, to help me along, just to make sure I don't fuck up, I have this training wheels sort of medicine in me. It's called a Vivitrol shot. You get the shot once a month. And it's basically a blocker. It just blocks it blocks opiates. So if I were to try to use opiates of any kind, it would just be wasting my money. I wouldn't feel it. It's basically the same medicine that they give people when they're overdosing. They, you know, because it blocks all your opiate receptors. Yeah. So they immediately come out of it. Yeah. So I get a shot of like a month's worth of that into my ass cheek once a month. And, so it's a dude. That's a lot of fucking medicine. A month's worth of this stuff is like this huge horse needle, giant fucking needle. Yeah. And then she squirts it in. And it's funny, I'm making small talk with the nurse and I'm like, she says, oh, I got my first half of the vaccine or whatever, the coronavirus, COVID vaccine. Mm. And I'm like, oh, is that about like the same size as this shot? Cause I'd heard it was uncomfortable. You know, it was a big shot in your arm. And she goes, oh no, that vaccine is nowhere near as big as the shot I'm about to give you. And dude, she squirts the thing in my ass. And it's like, all I could think was like, you know, the people that are so paranoid about the vaccine shot and like, they're going to inject nanobots into us, like the QAnon conspiracy shit.
Right.
I don't want these nanobots. If they could have fit Rosie the fucking robot from the Jetsons into my ass with that shot, like that's what it felt like going into my ass. I'm like, yeah, dude, I trying to sit for the next few days, man. I don't know how people do steroids, man.
You were tender.
That shit, they tender. It's like a big lump. Like as an addict, right?
Yeah.
If you miss your vein, if you're injecting heroin and you miss your vein, it turns into this big bubble under your skin. It can abscess. It can get infected. And it gets really gross and it's like awful. So anytime they would give me at whatever facilities, the tuberculosis tests, like the PPD test in your hand where they, or whatever they do it and they inject a little bump of shit under your skin. And it's supposed to, if it reacts and turns a color, then they have to treat you or check if you have tuberculosis. It's a thing they do at, you know, jails or hospitals and all these places where there's a lot of people. But anyway, I always feel like, oh shit, you don't want to inject under the skin. You want to hit a vein just because of my addict past. I'm feeling like if you're squirting it right in and it's making this bubble of fluid under my skin or in my muscle, I feel like that's going to be bad and going to get infected and all this. So I even ask the woman when she's shooting the stuff in my ass, I'm like, is there a risk of like abscess? Cause this feels like a lot that you're squirting in there.
But she's like, oh. I was going to say, she says, yeah, motherfucker, we ain't boiling this up in a spoon with toilet bowl water. Relax.
Yeah. It's sterile. Exactly. I know. That's true. Most of the shit that gets infected in your arm from shooting up is probably, like battery acid, rat poison, whatever the fuck they cut that shit with.
No,
but anyway, yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
No. My point is just that I'm getting this shot in my ass again. I'm due, on Tuesday, I believe, whatever it is, this coming week. And that will assure me that I don't fuck up for another month. So it's almost like I pre-plan my clean time for the month. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to shoot dope or do painkillers or anything for the next month. So I know that. So it's kind of like reaffirming it at the beginning of the month. And I only have to make the decision once for the month. And I know I'm going to be good. So it makes the effort a little easier when you're in early recovery. And technically I could do that for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? So, and just never get high again. And the good thing about it is, cause I didn't want to be on like a methadone or a Suboxone where I'm going to be sick if I get off of that. You know, it's another addiction. This is just a blocker. If I miss it 1 month, I'm not going to like, my body's not going to hurt from not getting it. It's just like, you know, I could get it late or I could get it in the next month. It's like, you know, it's not like I'm on a medicine that it's going to hurt me if I don't have it or I can't get it. So,
well, are you looking forward to this injection now? Are you,
Oh yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe you could like, fetishize it. I can't even say the word. It's not coming
out of my mouth. Fetishize.
Yeah. You make a fetish out of it. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, ooh, I can't wait for that day when I get all that liquid all jacked up in my butt cheek.
Dude, you know, it's funny you say that because, Fat Mike from NoFX, who we used to talk about every episode, I think. I bring up NoFX for a while. But Fat Mike is really into kink, and he had this girlfriend who would inject saline into his breasts so he would get tits, and they would just slowly fade away as the saline like worked its way into the system. But he said it would be like, they'd be really tight and painful. It would hurt so much because they'd inject like all these cc's of fucking saline into his breasts, but he's like, I got to wear a bra and see what that was like. I was like, just get fat. His name's Fat Mike. He's got tits already.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think this would make for great small talk while you're getting the injection.
Sure. Sure. You know? Talk to the nurse about kink.
Yeah. Well, just about, you know, maybe, you know, putting some injections in your chest.
Yeah,
like, hey, should we do that? Is that all right? Because is that still a fatty enough area? Because I'm really intrigued by the thought of having breasts.
Yeah. No, I still am grossed out by it. Like I said, the inner junkie in me still feels like I have, like, an abscess waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, if you missed with the drug and you felt that lump on your arm, you'd have to try to rub it and, like, hope it, like, worked its way into other areas and didn't just sit there and get infected. Yeah. Like, so that's what I'm doing with my ass cheek. I'm trying to rub it and, like, yeah. I don't know.
I've maybe recently,
that's my kink.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think everybody does it. I don't think it's very taboo.
Yeah, no. It's good.
But
vanilla.
That's vanilla on the scale. We're like, there's vanilla, there's chocolate, there's strawberry. This is Neapolitan, motherfucker. but lately, I've been really interested in, like, awkward conversations and engaging in them and starting them. So,
good
like,
thing.
Yeah, right? It's like, for you to, like, bring that up casually while she has a needle in your butt cheek to me would be, like, a fantastic idea. It's like, recently, I was house hunting. I just put in a bin on a house that I won, so I'm very happy about that. But at the time, I was I just didn't want to embarrass my wife. This is the only reason why I didn't do it. Is I wanted to be like, no, this is great. You know, when I'm talking to the realtor, rather. So put yourself in this scenario, people.
Sure.
Please, you know,
okay.
Entertain me here. Okay. And be like, oh yeah, so this is good. That's good. The lighting's good. The wiring's good. What about the dungeon? Do you guys have a pit? Because I really need a place to hang my ball gags and, you know, my torture devices, because my death cult comes over every Wednesday and it's very important. You know, I like, in my head, I'm laughing hilariously. Like, that'd be so funny to bring up. And then just be like, oh, I'm just kidding. Don't worry. I'm nervous. Nervous, you know. But I don't know. I keep having these scenarios in my head of, like, random things to bring up. And that's another funny thing, because as a kid, I would have done that. I would have just said it. I wouldn't give a fuck. But now I'm a respectable adult, so I keep that stuff inside until I podcast about it later in the week.
Right. Like, who was it that you, when we were younger, and you were introduced to them, and you said, oh, hi, touch me, I'm sick.
Oh, that was someone at your parents' house. That was someone they hired for something, and he came in. Yeah.
Like a piano tuner or somebody, something a carpenter.
Stupid. Yeah, and he just came in. Hi, like, I'm so-and-so. I'm like, hi, touch me. I'm sick. You know, I'm like, you know. But anyway, no one cares about that.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck. They just don't. That's how old
our friendship was.
Yeah, that's true.
You were like 14.
Testament to time. That's what that is. True testament to time. Yes, we are old. And since I am old, I want to get this out of the way before I forget, because senility might be creeping in, or, you know, I might just drift off and start talking about butterscotch candies.
It's a real hazard. It's a thing.
It very much so. Do not hesitate to call 911 if you feel the impulse to suck on a butterscotch candy, or offer them to others. Because that means you are definitely probably sprouting some silver cotton candy in places that you used to have color in. Now, I want to thank our partners of our humble little program here, alpinehemp.com. Now, I love CBD. CBD is good stuff. It helps me out throughout the course of my day to relax. And also, with a lot of pains, strains, and aches that I'm dealing with, Alpine Hemp is one of the cheapest places you can find, but still with a top quality product that you would expect from any other retailers of CBD, so make sure you check them out. Northlandvapor.com. I am a vapor. I used to be a smoker. Not no more, though, sucker. No, because that stuff stinks. Makes your fingers gross. Makes your breath terrible. I'm buying a new house. Imagine if I was smoking in my new house. The walls are gross. Thank you. You just do it. Yuck. It's terrible. Yeah. So if you know a smoker, if you are a smoker, it's time to quit, man. Sorry, 2021, for crying out loud. We're in the future. You got Rosie injected in your butt cheek. The Jetsons are here. You know what I mean? They weren't smoking in the Jetsons. Maybe they were, but they shouldn't have been.
Maybe.
But NorthlandVapor.com is where I get my juice from. I love it. It's Dyketone and artificial sweetener free, so it's even better than other companies wherein they put a bunch of random stuff you might not know was in it. They have retail locations in North Dakota, in Minnesota. And of course, make sure you check out their website, northandvapor.com. Now, both of those sites, you can save 19% off your order by using code SELLINGOUT19, which is pretty good because it is, in fact, Valentine's Day. So impress your lover by showing up with some CBD and some vape supplies. Now, the next company I'm going to bring up is extremely pertinent to Valentine's Day because it is SpunkLube.com. You're getting romantic. You want to light the fire. Get on the bearskin rug. Make some magic. Well, there's no better way to get the person that you're trying to schmooze in the mood than with some Spunk Lube. So make sure you visit SpunkLube.com today. Now, Nate.
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything else on the docket you would like to discuss before we go into your very special Valentine's Day edition of Nate's Notes?
Well, I just want to say just a quick little aside about Valentine's Day. I want to just voice my protests, and this is cliched at this point. I feel like a lot of people have touched on this, but just that Valentine's Day seems to be yet another ploy by the card companies, Hallmark, what have you, to just, you know, guilt you into buying products. And, you know, like, why is this the day that I have to show my loved one that I love them, you know? And it's like, it just seems like too impersonal. It's like, oh, this is when you're supposed to do it. So it's like a forced thing. Yes. So I'm just saying right now, again, my girlfriend should not listen to this, but I'm celebrating Valentine's Day and buying things under protest, goddammit. I think that we should just always show the people we love that we love them, and you shouldn't have to do it on a certain day and feel like if you don't, that you're somehow a piece of shit. And just on that note, Bill Burr would talk about how he and his wife would go out to dinner and celebrate Valentine's Day, but wait till like the day or two after. So the crowd has died down. Maybe the prices of things are died down. Candies, even things like that. So, you know, stick it in their craw, get the sale items.
I was going to say skip town until February 15th and then just swing by your local store and then buy all the marked down stuff.
Right.
Flowers suck because they die. Right. I hate buying flowers. Women love flowers, and I can kind of understand, you know, the whole aesthetic pleasure of receiving the flowers, but then in a week they're dead, and you just spent an arm and a leg for them. So you did mention card companies. At first, I thought you were going to bring up Topps or Donruss, maybe. Valentine's Day baseball cards. No,
yeah, not those cards.
We're talking Hallmark, the Hallmark moments. So basically, Nate, just in a nutshell here.
Yeah.
You're saying fuck Valentine's Day.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Wee bit.
You know?
Okay.
You know? And while we're at it, fuck all the other ones. You know, who are you to tell me when I have to support our veterans or celebrate George Washington's birthday or, you know, or, any of that shit.
I should
Father's Day.
Ooh.
Mother's Day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Come on now. Your birthday even. Who are you to tell me I need to celebrate your birthday on the day you were born?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah,
Fighting the power.
Good. I think that's a t-shirt we should make for sale.
Sure.
On our shop. Just like, fuck Easter. Fight
big holiday.
Fight big holidays. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a new campaign.
Instead of big pharma, it's like big holiday.
Yeah.
Is the big conglomerate that's in charge of telling us when to celebrate these things.
Yeah, that's...
Fuck those people.
Well, you know, I got some things to take care of, so we'll put a pin in it. But then when I'm done with everything else going on in my life, like breathing, then maybe I'll have the time, effort, and energy to go outside and pick at Hallmark, which I'm sure they probably don't get a lot of that going on. I doubt that ever happens outside of their headquarters. Yeah, we should. We should.
Yeah.
All right, Nate, thank you for sharing that with us and the rest of the world. You are Valentine's Day / any forced celebration Grinch.
Yes.
So now, without further ado, let's talk about a topic you are much more eager or happy to, in fact, celebrate. The art form known as music.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
Why don't you write me a love song, she says. I mean, I write songs. I write poetry and stuff. It's a valid question, but I haven't been able to do it, and I feel bad about that. It's not for lack of love. She and I have a happy, solid, loving relationship. We've gone through ups and downs, had a lot of fun, and also proven our loyalty to each other through some very rough times. She's certainly been there for me to a level that no human has cause to be. But yet, I struggle to put these feelings into a song. A good love song can make a moment seem even more special. Couples have their song, the one that comes on and instantly reaffirms their connection to each other, or reminds each individual partner of their counterpart when they hear it on their own. Love is one of those subjects that transcends nearly all musical genres, whether your thing is country, R&B, hip-hop, rock, metal, industrial, or goth. You can probably find a love song that speaks to you. It's one of those subjects that just lends itself to artistic expression. Some emotions are universal. I mean, I like an angry, hateful song once in a while, but I'm not really an angry, hateful person, so I can only identify so much. But we have all felt strong feelings associated with love in one way or another. I say one way or another, which brings me to my next point. Love is a many-faceted emotion in itself. One can feel the peace and serenity of that sort of comfortable love that one experiences in a long-term, secure relationship. Or you could be feeling the excitement of a new crush, or the exhilarating passion of a new sexual fling. Sometimes there are feelings of obsession or jealousy that may not be totally healthy, but they are good fodder for lyrics. And then, of course, there is the whole other side of the blade, those painful feelings of loss and heartache from a relationship ending, or otherwise unrequited love. Now, personally, I enjoy all kinds of music, all kinds of genres and subject matter, but for the majority of my life, I was steeped in goth and industrial music, mopey, dark stuff that went along with all the black I used to wear. I don't know if the chicken or the egg came first. Like, did I gravitate towards so much depressing music because of my inherent nature? Or was I turned into a mopey goth by the bands that I first really got into? I believe I've gone into that bit of psychological spelunking on an earlier episode, but I've written roughly 60 of these pieces by this point, so I'm not sure when, and I don't remember if I came to any kind of conclusion on that matter. But suffice it to say that those darker parts of the love experience tend to inspire me as a songwriter more than the shiny, happy, gushy stuff does. I feel those butterflies, those moments of sheer happiness and contentment that real love brings, but I have trouble putting them into colorful, poetic phrasing. I have trouble saying anything poignant about them without feeling like I'm being cheesy. To anyone with a little musical knowledge out there, I write a lot of songs in minor keys, because major keys feel a little corny to me, and minor keys often just sound sad or contemplative. This is not to say that to this day I only write dark songs about lost love. I've had a lot of rough years where love didn't even enter the picture because I was more concerned with finding money for drugs or surviving in prison or on the street. There's a lot of words I wrote about those years, and they're certainly not love songs. Although there's an argument to be made that addiction is a weird form of relationship, abusive and one-sided as it is, but I won't go into that here. That's a whole other can of mental worms I'll leave unopened for now. But what I'm getting at is that as a young, artsy, weirdo teenager, I had a lot of misconceptions about what love is. I had a lot of weird role models, and I had a lot of hormones rushing through me that probably didn't mix too well with all the drugs I had also started taking. And thus, I wrote more about the awkward, shitty parts of my interactions with the opposite sex. And that stuff just seemed to flow more easily out of me. I had read an interview with some veteran songwriter long enough ago where I forget who it was. And he said that when you are young and an inexperienced writer, That's all you write about, heartbreak and pain. He said those subjects are basically a refuge for novices. And while I still love me a good sad song, I see what that faceless old songwriter meant. Look at any teenager's notebook or diary. Most, if not all, of the poetry or song lyrics will be about a breakup or unrequited crush. And that's perfectly normal. The point of the aforementioned interviewee was that at some point, a true artist will be inspired by other emotions or occurrences across the tapestry of our shared existence. I'm learning. As life goes on and I experience different things, I find myself moved in all kinds of ways. Plus, I listen to a lot more points of view artistically. I've read a lot more books, a lot more poems, a bit of philosophy. You know, I've gotten old. So I practice writing from other points of view. I practice trying to put other emotions into poetic phrasing. But for some reason, whenever I try to write a love song that encompasses how good things are in my life with my significant other, how much I appreciate everything she's done for me, how much my life has improved just from her walking into it, my goddamn inner goth kid just pops up and calls me a corny douche until I feel too self-conscious to finish the thing. God damn you, Trent Reznor, Robert Smith, Roz Williams. I think you assholes screwed up love songs for me.
Yeah, well, why don't you just write a song about a goddamn corn cob pipe and say, this is about you because I love you.
Yeah.
No? I mean, you're an artist, right? So just say it's a different form of poetry. It's a different way to express. And then if she says, how does a corn cob pipe fit into this whole thing, this whole scenario? Just say you are the tobacco in it and I am the part that you suck on. I don't know. Just
right,
you know,
it's metaphorical.
I mean? Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes.
Well, dude, it gets awkward because I'll sit around, I'll play songs, and I've got all these old songs that I wrote. And dude, I've got songs I wrote about, I have no problem writing about a girl that died that, you know, I was with, or, you know, cause that's like, dude, there's some deep emotions I went through, and it was just like, everything felt poignant at that time, or like, whatever. It's just for some reason, that shit inspires me to write more. When I'm happy, I don't feel like picking up a pen or an instrument. I feel like enjoying the moment.
Right.
When I pick up an instrument or a pen, it's because I feel like I'm purging something almost. You know what I mean? Even if I'm not writing about love, even if I'm just writing about, like I said, the years that I spent fucking my life up, it's like, it's easy to write about that pain. And that's why it's like, it's hard work. That interview I talked about where the guy said, yeah, that's easy stuff to write about the pain. The real challenge is to write about the other shit. So I'm trying, you know, I practice and I'm writing some shit and I'm, if it's not too cheesy, I'll write her a fucking song.
Dude, when you were young, you're a great artist, right? And then someone in your class says, oh, can you draw me a picture? And then the next person says, can you draw me a picture? Now, I know it doesn't have this like deep-seated meaning. This is just an illustration, but it gets annoying, right? It's something that you do to relax or to express yourself in a certain way or manner. If you're a podiatrist, you probably want to keep your work at work. You don't want to go out to a party and then you're enjoying something and someone says, oh, man, I got this on my foot. Can you check this out? And you're like, no. call the office, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like the comedian where they're all like, tell me a joke. Say something funny.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what the fuck?
Man? What I'm saying or trying to get at here is just tell her, let's just pick a song for us that's already been made that, you know, already kind of sums up how we feel or our times together.
Yeah.
And let's roll with that. And then when inspiration strikes, whether it be today or never, you'll get your song. Don't force me.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I'm sure... You know, I always end up writing about, like, individual experiences. So maybe there'll be a day that we spend... I don't know. I'm just thinking, hypothetically, there'll be a day that we do something and I'm inspired to write about an experience we shared together. Something like that. It's just hard for me to put... I don't know. The mushy, gushy, I love you stuff. It's just... I have trouble doing it, man. I don't know. It's weird.
About the booty. I was talking about the booty earlier. It never fails me. And just always fall back on that booty.
Just like get inspired by like Two Live Crew and shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, man. Just talk about, yeah, dirty stuff.
Me so horny.
Yeah, and then she'll never ask you to write another song again.
Yeah, just do it poorly so they never ask you to do it.
Exactly.
Anything.
There you go. Right, yeah. Kill two birds with one stone right there.
Fucking
A. I wrote your fucking song. I wrote it about your twat. Now you don't like the song about your twat, so you're not going to ask me to write another
song. That's what you get. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah, right. Come on. Yeah. Jeez Louise. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Personally, if anybody's ever asked me to write a song for them, maybe I know people have asked me to write things for them because they think I write decently.
Yeah, you're a great writer, Dave.
But I'm better at spouting things off at the top of my head than actually sitting down and scribing. You know what I mean? I'm more of an idea man. I'm not much of a finisher.
I'm a spitballer.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. No, totally. I like me and you, let's come up with a concept for this. I'll be fucking bebopping and rocking and jiving all over the place. And it's like, okay, great. Now let's sit down and get it done. Hammer it out. And I'm like,
Yeah, that's why it was hard to play music with you sometimes.
I know. It's hard. You know? It's hard to do anything with me. Anything. I'm a fucking piece of shit. But, Nate, great piece. Very, very perfectly placed for our Valentine's Day special, which has probably not been so Valentine's-esque yet. The theme has run through this entire show. I'm very proud of us.
Yeah, man. Stayed on topic.
Because, you know,
stay on target.
Exactly. And we just brought up spitballing. That's what we had to do for this program. And I think we did it very well. So pat yourself on the back.
All right. We didn't fuck this up. I think we had to think on our toes, on our feet, you know?
Right.
Whatever. Somewhere on the bottoms of our body. We had to think off of that.
Somewhere. I do need to mention that we have social media.
That's true.
At Selling Out Show. You can find us in all that good stuff. You name it. We probably kind of have it.
I've been doing a little more on the Facebook. I used to neglect that, but I'm actually getting a little more active on it. So if our listeners want to, you know, interact with me on, I run the Facebook and I'm actually once in a while actually posting things there.
Yes.
So,
And that's at Selling Out Show One.
That's right. Just Selling Out Show One. So you don't need the at on Facebook. You Twitterite.
Yeah. So.
That's the Twitter. Hey. That's those Twitter people, dude. You know how they are.
I am. We don't have a TikTok yet. We need to work on that. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah. I started my own Instagram finally, but it's not really a show thing, but I am there. I don't know.
How do we find you? Give us your handle.
My name is just Nate Gorzinski, and you can learn how to spell that yourself. Do some work if you want to find me.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to take some effort. We also have an email address, sellingoutshow@gmail.com, and I specifically wanted to point that out because if any of you, anybody at all, has any knowledge or information about the whereabouts of Toby Schofield, please do not hesitate.
Who's that? I forgot about him.
Yeah, he's a co-host that ghosted us on Valentine's Day.
The co-host with the ghost.
That's him, man. And I'm slightly worried because he's not like that. So now let's kind of pull back the curtains here for a second. Show how the sausage is made. Now, if you have like a messenger service or whatever, it tends to show you when somebody's online.
Right.
So when I was first concerned, I wrote him a message. Are you alive? What's going on? And it said, last time active, whatever, 5 minutes ago.
Oh, shit.
So he's alive. Well, I mean.
Well, somebody
is. Or using his phone or device. But I'd like to believe he's alive. And I would like to think he would eventually. Yes, the plot does thicken. And I would like to think he eventually will come home. Like a wayward dog who's left on the side of the freeway.
He'll get there eventually.
Finds his master. I don't know. Yeah. This is a weird thing to say. I'm like fucking up, man. I'm telling you, I was bringing up.
You're fine.
Weird shit. I don't know. That's always a surefire sign when I gotta get away from a microphone.
You gotta find peace with yourself.
Yeah.
Just zen it up.
I'm gonna.
You're good.
Gonna zen the living shit out of it. But, Nate, do you have anything else you would like to add before we get the fuck out of here?
Just pray for me and my sore butt cheek.
Yeah. That's a good campaign. Yeah. I like that better than picketing Hallmark.
Yeah. Well, I can see. There's no reason we can't do both, Dave.
True. But I could see little cans on like 7-Eleven at the checkout where it's just going to picture your supple cheeks.
Sure.
Donate here.
Yeah.
The cheek fund. Yeah. Nate's butt cheek fund. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. On that note, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to our show today. We truly do appreciate it. And I haven't been giving them out all the time, but it is Valentine's Day. So virtual hugs for all of you. Virtual everything, really. We live in the age of COVID. So anything you would normally get at this time of year, we are now giving it to you.
Virtually.
Virtually in spirit. So it's a double whammy. Enjoy that shit.
Nice.
All right. So we are now hitting the road, going down the tunnel of love. And hopefully we're going to find some good stuff. I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show. Wake up, you never lose.